All right. You guys can take a seat. This time we invite our children to go to the back. Miss Rita's back there for Children's Church, if you're interested in doing that. Ooh, we got a full crowd. It's going to be exciting. Our verse for this morning comes from John chapter 17, and I'll actually incorporate it into the message, so don't worry, we'll get to it. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Journey with me to the very first garden. Journey with me to that original paradise, to our motherland, to the Garden of Eden, the one we find in Genesis chapter 1. Can you imagine the undiluted color that permeates that garden around you? Can you imagine those images, those colors that you probably have never seen before? Blues and reds and their complete purity. Can you imagine the crispness of the hundreds of various and very unique trees and flowers? Can you endure the sweet taste of unblemished, one-of-a-kind fruit that this moment it touches your lips, all hunger is gone from your stomach? Can you embrace the delectable smell of original spring as it fills your nostrils? Imagine with me the sound of 100 songbirds singing in unity and harmony in unison, a song of praise to their creator. Just imagine what that could sound like. Such a true paradise that is unlike anything we could ever truly imagine, isn't it? Anything we just imagine is really just coming up short to the reality. Because this is a unique garden. This is a paradise. This is a paradise of peace. Time goes by unnoticed. All desires go fulfilled. All eyes give away to the collective we. All are living with a single purpose, a single unity, a mission of praise. The air is joyfully filled with sounds of praise. All are living out their created purpose, the reason that God created them to be, which is just to be themselves. All needs are met. All desires are pure. There is perfect contentment and a satisfying love that is offered for all of those who find themselves in this peaceful garden. As if this wasn't enough, suddenly now imagine the Master, the Creator himself, coming into this garden. The Creator coming into this garden in order to take a stroll with the pride and the joy of his creation, enjoying every unique blessing that is part of his creation. His love and his provision, it flows from him as if some sort of sweet perfume, embracing all and swaddling all who come into contact with it. Could you imagine the belly laugh that could roll from the Creator himself as he takes joy and delight and pleasure in the pride of his creation? Because all who are in this garden are living with a single purpose, an understood mission. They're acting in the way that God created them to be, and as God says, it is perfect. Such a beautiful and amazing garden could only truly be called paradise. This place is perfect. His place is truly the definition of harmony itself. As you imagine this with me, being there in this garden, there's something familiar about it, isn't there? Perhaps this isn't the first time you've imagined yourself in paradise. There's something right about it. There's something even necessary about the image that we hold of this garden. This image that has become, for many of us, our own personal goal, what we desire the end and the eternity to be like, our greatest desire. This image that even today seems to fill our dreams both during the days and during the nights. The image that truly leaves us with hope. Yet now I ask you to take another journey. Journey back with me to the here, to the now, to the today that we find ourselves in. As beautiful as each and every one of you are, it really doesn't compare to that paradise, does it? Because we're not still living in this garden anymore. Our reality could hardly be called that paradise. Because this garden has given away to something else. The garden has given way to the jungle. This jungle of chaos and ambition that we call our home. Selfish zeal, unforgiving corruption, everything laid before us as if stripped down to its bare bones, in order so we can value how worthy it is for us and what it can do for us, its usefulness. We daily ask ourselves very self-serving questions, don't we? We look at this amazing world that God created around us, and we minimalize it down to these questions. What is it? What do I get out of it? What does it give me? What's the benefit in taking part in it? What's the benefit to me of this? And finally, what's in it for me? Have you ever asked yourselves those questions? I know I have. Because we live in a jungle of not enough. Not enough time, not enough money, not enough energy, not enough hope. Food rots, birds and trees, they die, and we all begin to wander looking for a new garden. We all seek. We seek something bigger, something that provides a purpose, an explanation, even a moment of contentment. Just look at the movies we watch. Look at the stories that we read and the stories that we tell. They are all about this pursuit, aren't they? This pursuit of happiness, this pursuit of fulfillment. Yet the pursuits seem endless and the results seem disheartening. When we follow these paths, we find ourselves in even more despair than we were before we ever left on that journey. Because life is short, life is chaotic, and at times, yes, life can even seem, and for some of us, be meaningless. So once again, we return to that dream. We dream of the garden. We dream of the original paradise. And we hope something good will happen for us. Maybe, just maybe for one day, something good. But for now, we wait for that day. We wander, and ultimately, you and I, we grow weary and tired, don't we? Unity has given way to chaos. Contentment has given way to dissatisfaction, and we seem left behind. Left behind without a mission, without a purpose, as if you and I are left here on this earth to discover and for many of us even try to translate our own lives. The meaning of life is a drifting and age-old question. There are numerous answers, numerous sources, yes, numerous lowercase gods who are eager to take our time and our resources. And so we are tempted to try them all, aren't we? We turn to money, we turn to status, we turn to pleasure, we turn to even service of others, we turn to the church, the temple, the mosque, and each failed source seems to leave us wondering if that dream of a paradise is a reality at all. Or is that dream of a paradise, in fact, a fable? A bedtime tale told to us as children so that at least some part of our short lives has some sort of peace in it before the reality of the cruel and chaotic world grabs us by the hand and leads us into that great despair. Every coffee shop, every civic club, every Habitat home, every golf course, yes, even every church is filled with broken and broken down souls trying to grasp some sort of unity and purpose. They're trying to put on a show, carry themselves as if they're playing the part, hoping that everyone else is fooled, that they think they really do know what they're doing. They really do know what the purpose of this life is. Because you and I, we live in a broken world. I don't have to tell you that relationships crumble, jobs are lost, homes are destroyed. Yes, innocence is stolen, and yet here we are. We press on, we hope for something more, something better around the corner. It can be pretty exhausting, can't it? And yet in the middle of all of this chaos and unmet desire, today you and I can be witnesses to something greater. You and I can be witnesses of a garden that for a few short hours sheltered a small, anguished, seemingly insignificant voice of an abandoned and obviously very burdened soul. The voice that I'm talking about comes from a man who, despite all chaos, never lost the reality of living in the hope of original paradise. Because this isn't just any ordinary man that I'm talking about. These aren't just any ordinary words that we're going to hear from him. No, these are some of the last words of a tired man who has willingly placed himself on a path towards his own gruesome execution with the salvation of the entire world at stake. This is more than any man. This isn't himself, God. God himself. Because God loves us. The greatest of all messages, the greatest love story ever told is that God is desperately and entirely in love with you. And he says his love came at a price. He loves us so much that he sent his son to come into the earth and to live that life that you and I are called to live. And though he was successful in this mission and worthy of all praise and adoration from creation itself, instead they lifted him up in a different way. They lifted him up on the cross so that as his blood was poured out, freely given by God himself, you and I can be redeemed. You and I have salvation because the story doesn't end on that cross. He dies and he rises again on Easter Sunday to prove once and for all that paradise is possible and it is a reality for all of us here today. Today's gospel lesson is an insight of what happens when paradise lives amongst yet goes unblemished by chaos. When God himself takes on our flesh and makes his dwelling amongst us, when God sees the broken and chaotic mess of his creation, and he puts into place his plan of holy redemption. Yes, his plan to do something about it. So once again, I ask you to journey, but to journey with me to the outskirts of that small garden, just out of sight, as you and I can sit there and we can overhear these important words of the sacrificial son praying to his faithful father. And I ask you to open to your bulletins to the back. You'll see the words I'm about to read from John chapter 17. The words from Christ himself on the eve of his execution. This is his prayer. And I want you to know, as you read this, this isn't a prayer about just anybody. This is Christ's prayer for you. You specifically. He had you in mind when he said these words. So follow along. Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for this sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth." I'm thankful that this is today's gospel lesson because personally, this is an important day for me. Over the last 2 years, as I mentioned, we've gone through the text, we've gone through the catechism, we've studied together God's words, and these 12 faithful are still here. And it's a joy to see that, and I think that I couldn't have picked a better verse from Scripture to give them in this message than this. Because God loves you guys. He says it repeatedly. He never strays from that, and he shows you that in the way that he's blessed you in your life. And I want you to hold on to that and to hold on to his words. Last night, we had our closing banquet, and we had a meal together, and I gave each of them a gift. I never explained anything about the gift. But what I gave them was a small Bible, a Bible that you could fit in your backpack, something, I know they all have Bibles, but something that they could carry with them. And I gave you that because I want you to remember the words that you memorized. I want you to remember the promises that God bestowed upon you, and that when you are called to give a reason for the hope that you have those words and you can share those with the people around you. The words in today's message, these words are powerful. These words of Jesus Christ on the eve of his execution are not a plea from a defeated man to end his harsh journey as one might expect. Instead, this is what we call a priestly prayer, a prayer said on behalf of others. A prayer of concern, not of himself, but of everyone else, of every one of us here today. The prayer of Christ is a prayer of purpose and direction for you and for me. We no longer need to strive to find that meaning. Christ clearly gives it to us in these words. Amazingly, on the eve of his execution, fully aware of what is to come, Jesus instead chooses to pray for those he now leaves behind, his faithful followers. Christ prays for a new identity for each and every one of us. He actually gives us his name that we can wear it upon our shoulders. He empowers us to carry his transformative story forward into this chaotic world. Remember the prayer that he said. He said, "I pray not that you take them out of this world, but that you send them into this world." We have that purpose, that direction. This is by God's design. He reminds us that we are not inhabitants of this chaotic jungle. No, the world we see around us is not our eternal home. Instead, he calls us missionaries. Missionaries are those that come with a message from a different place. The place that you and I come from is paradise. And the message that you and I have is these life-changing words of Christ, of the death and resurrection. We bring the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. Yes, you and I, we actually do have a purpose. We are here in order to carry out his word and his spirit into the chaotic jungle that we find all around us. You and I, we live so that all may hear this word, and after hearing it, they may believe that Jesus Christ and no one else is Lord. That all may live knowing that chaos will give way to everlasting peace. In preparing for this message, I came across a story that I thought was interesting. The story is told by a man named E. Stanley Jones, who is a theologian and a missionary. And he tells of another missionary that he knew. He tells of a missionary to Native Africa who has lost his way. After hours of searching for any discernible landmark or trail, he finally stumbles upon a humble hut, a small hut occupied by a friendly local man. He knocks on the door and he explains to this local man his situation. The man then leads him straight from the hut into the thick of the bush, right into the thicket of it. After hours of hacking away at it, creating a path, the missionary grows concerned. Worried, he asks, "Are you sure that this is the way? Because I don't see any path." The local man smiled, and amusingly he stated over his back shoulder, "In this place, there is no path. Because in this place, I am the path." For many of us here living in this chaotic jungle, the path seems equally thick and unclear, doesn't it? It may seem like a fleeting image or a story of old, something defeated or useless. We may be tempted to then move on past it, grow past it, go to something deeper. We may seem like it's left to us to somehow find our way in this thicket and in this bush and this chaos that's around us. But the message here today is that you and I, we're guilty of one thing. We've merely taken our eyes off of the guide. We all need that guide. We all need that holy and innocent man who on the eve of his execution chose instead to pray for us here today. You and I, what we need this man's prayer. And thankfully, we have it. Christ came with a purpose. He came to grasp us out of his creation, out of chaos, and to safely bring us to his peaceful paradise. And he did this at a price. In his prayer today, Christ now blesses us with a purpose as well, because there are a lot of people in your lives who don't know the peace that's found in God. There's a lot of people that God has purposely placed you in that mission field who know that something is wrong. If you look around you, almost everyone will agree there's something wrong with the world. It's as if we all can agree on one thing, it's that. And yet, we found the answer, but many of them are still searching, still wondering what it is to make things right. They have no knowledge of the one who came to fix it. And so Christ chooses to send us out into this chaos with his protected hand, with this message of peace. Christ chooses to use us to continue the story, to be the seeds that the Spirit chooses to work through. So I ask you again to journey with me. Journey with me again to that peace-filled garden that we are residents of. Though the path may seem thick and unclear, the Word of God will forever shine on that path. Because you and I, we have a guide. And thankfully, this guide is praying for us. This is most certainly true. Amen.